Lord Jesus, with your boundless sea of love and energy, may all our dreams come true. L'chaim.
L'chaim, thank you. Welcome, everybody, to Keith and the Girl. Hemda's here. I'm here. We're going to have a good time. I promise you that. Pat Dixon brought up a good point, by the way, when he was here as a guest this week. And we were telling a story at the end of the show about this: somebody broke into somebody's house, didn't take jewelry, didn't take money.
No TV, no anything.
Literally took a woman's head, chopped off her head, and that's what he came for and left. And the guy said, hey, just bring me back my wife's head. Well, first of all, that's all he came for. It's like, right, if you stole a TV. Well, just bring back the TV.
No questions asked.
And everything will be good. And he said, it's a sign of the times that somebody cut off somebody's head and we only talked about it for 90 seconds.
Like,
Yeah.
There's that.
That's the point. And he doesn't even mean like we're supposed to be journalists of sorts. He's just saying like, you hear a story like that nowadays. Okay. I believe it.
You know, I don't want to sound like I'm 100 years old, but with the age of the internet, you can watch a beheading on your computer, and people are actually searching for it. Did you watch that thing?
I did. The
beheading. Yes. Yeah. And in the Middle East.
From some time ago. Yeah. I did. And I was a little surprised. I was a little bored. Is that sick?
That's really sick.
Is that a sign of the times? I'm like,
that's a sign of the times. You know what that's a sign of? Movies, because I think they just kind of numb you to it. I can't watch the movies that you watch. I turn my head. I get grossed out. It's just a little too much for me. But you watch all this grotesque stuff. So when it comes to the real thing, there's no sound effects. There's no big boom. And from what I hear from everybody watching this thing, a beheading is not one swipe.
No, it's not. It sounds
it's
like
a Kill Bill movie. Of it.
It's slow. It's cutting into meat slow.
And people are watching. And when you describe that to me, I super can't watch it, but you're bored.
Right. I'm like, yawners.
Yeah, because, you know, when you watch a fight even on TV or anywhere, they're adding sound effects. If you ever heard somebody punch someone, it's not pow.
Right.
It's, you know, that just doesn't sound as good.
Don't forget, of course.
Yeah, let's move on, please.
Right. Very important weekend. Purchase your copy of Keith and the Girls, What Do We Do Now? From your local bookstore. If they say they don't have it, they're lying, and fight them.
Now, we're also hearing that people are out of it. It's even more important that if they're out of it, you say reorder it, because our publishing company and, you know, everybody needs to know that this is in demand. And the more in demand it is, the more we get, you know, put on shelves and in the front of the bookstore rather than just on the shelves.
The more you buy, the more we can sell, let's say. Right?
Yes. Didn't you have a theory on it?
No, not this one. No. But I should. I kind of already said it.
Work on it.
Right.
Work on it.
The more you buy, the more
they'll
get.
Something about demand.
If you demand it, you'll get it.
Buyer's thing.
Buyers are going to buy it. Haters are going to hate. Is that the one?
No.
Okay. Well, anyway, yes, please pick up the copy. Very important time this past week and this coming week. Hey there, I'm Sebastian. I'm a straight male, 26, from Germany. Just wanted to say thanks. Heard of your podcast on Twitter. Listening to it since 2 months now.
Wow.
I bought your book. It's hilarious. I can't remember ever laughing so hard of some written piece of shit. This is really great.
That's German for haha, thank you.
Right. That's German.
That's German for I laugh. I laugh.
Got another one. Yeah, got another one next month or so. Like, I think write another book.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Thanks for giving me such a great time. Sorry for my English. Sebastian Mueller. So English isn't even his main language.
It's pretty good.
And he's digging this book.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, our jokes translate very well.
And it's true. Twitter, Facebook, let people know about this book.
Yeah, that's really important to spread the word.
Hi, Keith and Hemda. I went to Barnes & Noble in Union Square today in search of your book. I looked for it on all the tables up front, but nothing. So I decided to go upstairs and search for it on the computer. And as I was typing in your book, What Do We Do Now?, there I heard it as clear as day over the loudspeaker at Barnes & Noble. John Petrie, call on 308. John Petrie, call on 308. This is the guy, of course, that took my girlfriend at the time, her head.
Oh.
And, yeah.
He might as well have.
He might as well have. Yeah. He stole everything.
I think you would have been less traumatized.
And I'm not giving up on this guy.
Because let's be honest, your girlfriend at the time,
I hear you. Mm. I hear you. It's still, though, it's the thing of the thing. So John Petrie, call on 308. And the person wrote, it was an amazing coincidence that as I was typing your book, John Petrie's name came up. Could this be the John Petrie working at Barnes & Noble? Keep up the good work. The 76-hour podcast was amazing and probably one of the most unique forms of entertainment I've listened to. Best, Ricardo. So I wrote back, Ricardo. How would I know? Thanks for the follow-up work, detective. Keith. Hey, this could be him.
Yeah, I think I might have found your nemesis. Anyway, there's a great Starbucks down the block.
Right.
You should try it.
And I mean, I didn't ask you, you know, to go on a detective mission. I did just ask you to buy the book. But, you know, while you're there.
Listen, there's a beautiful park right there. I'm distracted by pigeons. There's a Max Brenner there. The chocolate is to die.
He said it was his last day of work. So it might be too late now. But I just thought I'd bring it up. It's kind of strange. Dear Keith and Chemda, I'm 31 years old, says Kim, straight married with two kids, and give many poos about this mail. I just want to say that I'm reading your book and absolutely love it. I laughed out loud from page one. I also love the fact that when I read it, I hear the words in your voices, and it's just great.
Ah, fun, so we don't have to do an audiobook.
Even my husband, who looks at books like they are some sort of contagious disease, I understand what he's saying, has taken to stealing my book, reading a page and declaring very loudly that Keith is, in fact, a genius and knows everything.
Mm.
I like your husband.
Mm.
Thank you guys for the great work that you do every day. And also for giving us this great book. Now I must go beat my husband over the head to get my book back. Hey, what can I say? We haven't finished it yet. There's still maybe work to be done.
I'm not sure that you got to chapter three yet.
Kim. Hello, Keith and Chemda. I just want to let you know that I'm a wedding photographer, says Katrina. And I've bought 15
that
books.
That name, you're right, is still stinging.
Right?
Still stinging.
I bought 15 books to give out to my clients this year as a wedding present. I think this is a much better wedding present than a toaster. I'm so proud to be able to help support your podcast in a very small way to thank you for your hours of entertainment, sincerely.
That is so sweet. That's amazing.
You're getting married? Here's a book to help you out.
Right. Full of the word fuck, cunt, and shit.
Hey. You know?
I tell jokes.
She also knows these people. You know, right. You sit down with them. You're making cards. You're making cakes. You know, you could tell if that's the person that gets a book. They're Keith and the girl. I've been a listener since episode one, nearly 20 years old, male straight, not Ian, and I give a shit about this email.
Whoa, math time. We've been doing the show for 5 years. He's been listening from show one. He's 15 years old when he first started listening to us.
Yeah. Hmm. Congratulations to you on your new book release, in which I purchased just the other day at the friendly neighborhood Barnes & Noble. I brought it home and shared it with my girlfriend, in which we are now reading together. Instead of taking turns with the book, we decided to make things easier and read it at the same time as she reads all the remarks by Chemda out loud.
Aww.
While I read all of Keith's out loud.
Can you guys tape it?
Although we don't get to quickly cruise through the book this way, it has become a nice way to end an evening by reading to one another before we play high-low. I would also like to say that your book apparently is quite a hit in Olympia, Washington, for the woman that helped me find your book told me this was the last one in the store. All in all,
can I just quickly say that if you do find the last book in the store, or if there's only one book left, please email us info@keithandthegirl.com, because if you tell us the location, I will send it to my publisher and they will make sure there are more, because that's really important. Thank you.
All in all, it's been wonderful to see how far you two have come over the last 5 years, and I wait to see what else is down the road. Keep up the good work. Faithfully listening, Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
That's nice. And don't forget, keithandthegirl.com/forums. There's a What Do We Do Now thread where people are putting up their pictures of their bookstores. You know, it's funny finding these out of way places I'd never be. You know, some small town in Kansas has my book on a bookshelf. That's exciting. So
maybe
Somerset, Pennsylvania. I know somebody was taking a picture of them in a bubble bath with the book open and a bottle of wine.
So cute. Yeah. Yeah, and it's also being Twittered, which I think is really helping. Like that person said, they found our show via Twitter 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. So yeah, spread the word with all this stuff.
Keep up the blogs and that kind of thing. I thought I'd share a funny Keith and the Girl office moment, says Nick from Seattle. I listen to your podcast on my phone through Bluetooth headphones every day at work. You always know where these are going. You know, I don't think Bluetooth has their shit down. On any given day, it's bad enough because I'm laughing my ass off by myself in a quiet office. To the casual coworker walking by, I probably look like your average short bus window licker, but today was a little different. Like every other day, today I sat down at my desk, turned on my phone, and played your latest show. Unlike a regular day, today I realized the Bluetooth wasn't on my phone, and it was blaring, "How do I get my girlfriend to douche at full volume?" My extremely right-wing religious cube neighbor just about gave himself whiplash by turning his head to ask what the hell was listening to. Knowing the truth couldn't possibly be worse than what he was thinking, I took the next 10 minutes to try to explain what your show was all about. Now everyone thinks I'm a short bus window licker and a sexual deviant. Good times, keep up the good work, Nick.
He's probably buying the book on the DL, please.
Right. He's curious about the answer.
Yeah.
Do I get her to douche? It doesn't matter if you're religious. You still care.
Yeah, and you're having sex when you're married.
No, I don't want my wife to smell good downstairs. I don't care if she tastes like sewage. I'm religious.
And for those who don't know, by the way, that's the start of our commercial that we made up with the help of Newsy and some guests that come through our show. So if you want to hear that, just go to keithandthegirl.com/book. It's our audio ad.
Dearest Keith and Chenda, says Alana.
I'm waiting for the very dearest one.
Well, this one, she has a question of her own. Female 18, straight sober, desperately seek your input. I met a guy recently and he seems absolutely great. He's a total gentleman and has a fantastic, very laid-back personality. Our first date consisted of a long conversation at a cafe until we were asked to leave because they were closing.
Oh, cute. Isn't that cute?
Mm-hmm. The way these workers can't go home and all 20 of them were standing around mopping under your table. It's very cute. I'm putting the chairs around you and you're allowed to stay longer because you asked for a coffee refill. And maybe I can share your quarter tip with everybody. It's very cute. It's adorable. After we drove around and listened to music and just talked some more, he asked me out again, and last night we went to the movies. While we were standing in line for concessions, a random kid around our age started taunting him and mocking him. I'd really like to know what that means.
Well, she said around a kid around our age.
18. She's 18. So a kid, she says, but around our age. Okay. So 18 as well.
So maybe 16.
Started taunting him and mocking him. About what?
Yeah.
His outfit?
I was just going to say, are his pants weird?
I didn't mention he's a midget.
Right.
Suddenly, the date abruptly turns around and tells the kid to shut the fuck up. I didn't think anything of it, really, although I was a bit embarrassed because everyone turned around and stared at this yelling match. So we watch the movie. It's cute. We hold hands, blah, blah. So as we're walking out of the theater, the same kid, who he didn't know, comes up and taps him upside the head with a water bottle. My guy immediately pushes him and a huge fight erupts. During the entire thing, I didn't know what to do with myself, so I stood awkwardly to the side to avoid being shanked. After it's broken up, he seems to be pretty shaken, and when I ask, he says that was the first fight he's ever been in. Meanwhile, I'm completely mortified and pissed off that he did that while I was there. Since then, he continues to apologize and says that he's not a violent person. Sure, maybe he's not violent, but isn't volatile just as bad. So my question is this, is my anger justified? If it's a second date and you're trying to woo a chick, wouldn't any reasonable guy just ignore it and be the bigger person for the sake of his date? Should I rate him off? My female friends claim that it's not worth it and that I should shrug it off as a date gone wrong and move on. Meanwhile, my male friends say that the anger and retaliation was totally warranted and that they would do the same thing in his position. In fact, if he didn't fight back, he's a pussy. I don't know, guys. I'm so flustered. Is this worth pursuing? Thanks and much love forever. Alana.
Can I answer? Because it seems like her female friends are answering a very specific way.
Sure.
If you gave that email to your female friends and they said a fight isn't warranted, bizarre. First of all, that guy kept provoking him and slapped him upside the head with a water bottle.
Right.
So he got physical with the guy. Even I would hit someone at that point. And I hate violence. I don't want to watch you being violent. I don't need a tough guy in my life. Yeah. I don't want you being bullyish. I don't like it at all. It makes me feel very awkward. The thing is, even if it was warranted, you're still going to feel weird. Like, even if Keith, you got hit upside the head and you punched someone, I would still feel like, oh my God, please don't get into a fight. But really, you have to get into a fight. And that's the end of it.
And it's not machismo.
No, it's not.
But I'd be humiliated thinking my girlfriend thinks I can't take care of her. I hope nobody starts throwing water bottles at us. You know, what is the point where you have to start fighting? I think a water bottle slapped against the head is one. I won't stop somebody from taking a water bottle and slapping me across the face. Then what else am I not going to stop? Quite frankly, what are you going to do? You're going to follow me to my car. You might end up doing something to my girl.
Yeah, and Keith, as abrupt as he sounds and as harsh as he sounds on the show, he avoids fights. Like, you don't target people, you don't instigate, you walk away for the most part. You've walked away with people, you know, even, you know, staring at me inappropriately. And at most at your calm level, you go, come on, man, that's enough,
right.
You know? But if people provoke you, I expect you to push back at a certain level.
Right.
And I think actually getting hit is a reason to hit back.
It absolutely is.
Yeah. You can't, as a woman, if somebody hit me, I'd hit back. If a woman hit me, I'd hit her back.
Right. You had such a good time with this guy that you probably got somebody from that cafe fired. But you're hitting it off and you're having a good time. Give it another chance and see if this is a normal personality. And by another chance, I mean, I don't think he did anything wrong.
I don't think so either. That's not even fair. That's like somebody was out to get him on his first date. That's right. So bizarre.
Who's doing that? Like, did he know 18? Are you still in high school? Is that a high school kid and he knows him? Who you're just making fun of somebody?
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems very bizarre. And by the way, he also, the yelling back was also warranted. The fact that he just kept nagging and nagging. I think, you know, at some point I would yell back also. I'd be like, shut the fuck up. Quiet.
Right.
You know, you're interrupting my date. You're saying enough shit for me to say something back. I think that's perfectly fine.
Right. Stick with them. That's what I say. Blow them. How bad is that? Then he has to be apologizing the whole time.
I know. That's so bizarre. I wonder if he's like, God damn, how long do I have to apologize for? Right. You know, until I go, you know what? This girl doesn't know what being a human is, you know, beyond being a man.
Right.
Which he was just being. But I think, you know, a woman in that position would have the same response.
By the way, last night I was cleaning up like a fiend. All the dishes done, my friend. Done.
Amazing. And I want to give you a reward, but I don't have one.
No.
We'll work something out.
God gave you one, honey.
Can I tell you, I looked at those dishes and I literally ran away. And I kind of feel bad.
That's all right.
Because I really had no intention. Although I said, hey, I'm going to, bye, I'll go get groceries.
I wanted to visit my parents and act like it was because my dad had a heart attack, but really I'd be boxing up all the silverware.
Put it in their dishwasher.
Yeah. Animals were over our house. Animals. The pictures are up to prove it. Disgusting. But I buckled. I don't think anybody's ever worked harder than me.
Clearly not.
Ever. Somebody said, Keith, this is amazing. Fuck the building of the pyramids. What you did is incredible. And the guy was right. So anyway, the poll yesterday when we were talking about people, animals in my house.
Oh, God.
Cracked a flute, a champagne glass,
mm-hmm.
and then put it back on the shelf.
Right.
They couldn't have bumped into the shelf, and the glass could have fell. You wouldn't get a crack like that. They broke it, and they put it back thinking I wouldn't know. And on top of that, a beer stein. Somebody also cracked. I didn't know until Henda pointed it out, and it definitely came from then.
And let me tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
About... at least 30 people came in and out of our house for 76 straight hours.
Right.
The fact that that was the casualty, I'm all right.
Oh, there's more, actually.
I did see your other
that
Twitter.
I found by cleaning.
Wait, there's one more thing.
It's funny you should say that. There's actually more than one. But anyway, I put the poll up. And here's, you know, you got to phrase it just right, these animals.
To seem unbiased.
So I say, Keith's cracked glass and cracked stein. And here are your choices regarding that. Keith's right. The whole thing is strange and disrespectful. You broke a glass and you just put it back like nobody will know. I'm not even saying you have to bring it up to me. A lot of shit's going on. Just throw it out. I got to worry about drinking cracked shit. Never mind. You broke some of mine and you tried to play it off.
I really think that it's possible that somebody, like nobody might have seen it and it wasn't necessarily a fall and a break.
I think that's crazy. How nobody saw it break?
Because it could be just hit against the glasses.
No, it was a big crack, and I put the pictures up to show you that it can't happen. Or things happen at a party, it's such a non-issue to even think about. And 60% think it's such a non-issue to even think. I'm not crying over a cracked glass. I'm crying over disrespect. The respect. I don't find that so crazy. You know, we have a water cooler downstairs. There's some kind of soda or something was spilled all over the side.
Oh, is that what you meant?
What do you mean?
Oh, because you were mentioning some kind of soda and cooler. There was soda spilt?
There was soda spilt on the side. So now I even let that go. I think that somebody could have been so drunk and they bump into it and they spill it on there. And then they go to get the rag in the kitchen and they're so drunk they forget why they were even there. Oh, meat.
Okay.
So they forget. Yeah. I'm fine with that. Now, weird that it was, you know, whatever. I'm fine with that. This glass thing is different to me. And what else is different? What else is different is a pillow that had some kind of red juice spilled all over it, put into our foyer. So what happened was, during the party, somebody spilled on this. I took off the pillowcase. It soaked through. I threw out the whole pillow.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd do that.
So somebody spilled on this, went, whoops, and hid the pillow.
You think they hid it?
Of course they hid it. And there's nothing spilled around this pillow. They had it. They spilled on it. And they went, I'll just put it to the side. animals.
Yeah, well, are you genuinely, are you angry? Are you upset? Are you just feeling like,
disappointed.
Why? Okay, disappointed.
Hurt.
Okay.
Hurt.
Are you going to spank someone?
And sometimes that's worse. Sometimes that's worse. We had a guest here, but I think people are just a little disrespectful. Now, why that kind of saying, you know, let this go? It's not ruining my day, believe it or not. But we had a guest, and we have these coasters so that when you put down the glass, it doesn't make a big noise into the microphone.
Here's it's not because of the wood of our table. It's just because, here, look, this is me putting on the glass
right
on the table. You can kind of hear it in the background, but a lot of that throughout the show gets aggravating because, you know, we're mostly in people's headphones in their ears. And then I just put down my cup just now. You couldn't hear a thing. It's less distracting. So that's what coasters were for.
So we have Court coasters, and one of our guests, we're doing the show. And I'm just observing. I know when I put these coasters down for people to use, and after it was over, I see a piece of cork in the middle missing. The guest was picking at this cork and just started picking it apart. And it kind of went, oh, why would that person do that? That is crazy.
It's a little odd because it's...
Is that disrespectful? And how come that is, but not this other stuff, a pillow, a broken glass?
I'm not saying it's not disrespectful. I just think it doesn't warrant anything above like, sucks, you know? Because
I didn't really send in the stuff to get dusted by cops.
I know,
and the
FBI. I
hope people know that.
Well, in the case of the show, I think that people get nervous on our show and they always, that's why we take everything away from them in reach so they can't pick at it. Like a lot of times, most times, if a guest has a pen in their hand, they'll flip it and suddenly you're hearing this.
Right.
And they have headphones on. They can hear it. But they're so involved and engaged that they're not listening to the noises that Keith and I have, like, you know, super hearing, it seems, about, because we don't want things to be like that. So we take everything away. So there was nothing away. So they start playing with the cork of, you know, in the middle of the
right
the coaster. So that's just a nervous tick that I think guests do. And it's a shame.
You seemed upset is why I brought it up. Just a little upset. Like,
well, it was odd to me, but now, you know, thinking about it, I go, oh, okay. Nothing else to pick at, you know. And you were saying, you know, Keith has no problem mentioning who does it. And I'm like, can we just leave this person's name out and
see how they get you?
Well, the reason
is... They make you feel bad. They ruin your property and then you feel bad.
Because it's different. If I was to say it to them in person, then you can mention it on the show. But if I'm not... He's showing the thing to the camera.
I'm holding up the pillow.
But if I'm not going to, you know, most of the guests that come through here are my friend, either through, I met them through the show.
Is that what
or
a
whatever.
Friend would do?
Yeah, it seems like it, yeah.
It does seem like it.
I know, you're
it.
Destroying my property, but I'd rather keep my friend.
Disgusting.
A pushover. I'm a pushover.
I put up a picture of this pillow on Twitter, and Newsy Chew wrote, Newsy. Says, you see, what had happened was, there's this juice, right? And it was Lauren. Lauren did it.
And you know what? He responded, Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
And Lauren didn't get your part, I guess. You know, she follows you on Twitter. You also,
okay.
Keith. And but all she got was the response. And she goes to me, she goes, do you know what I did that I'm getting accused of on Twitter? Do you know what's happening? And I'm like, oh, well, what had happened was.
Right. Well, no,
and I told her the whole story.
It was one of those children. I know it.
Well, it was probably Kool-Aid. Who the fuck else drank
okay.
Kool-Aid?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I'm not saying nothing.
I'm just going to put this on the side. Animals.
Meanwhile, we're giving these children salvia and then expecting them not to pour freaking Kool-Aid all over our pillows.
When they're on salvia, they're too busy walking in circles. You act, less damage, believe it or not, happens when you're on salvia. Salvia traps you.
Here's what Sigizzle is saying. I hear when gays do salvia, their saliva turns red.
Hmm.
Especially when the gay eats nothing but candy.
That's probably just drool from Twizzlers.
No, that's science.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, yeesh. You hear this stuff, by the way, about senators and congressmen, these gay guys? It's more and more people coming out.
No, not coming out.
Right.
Being outed by their nonsense.
After they make all these laws against...
anti-gay laws.
Yeah, anti-gay rate laws. And then you find out the people voting... are gay themselves.
Yeah. Well, and on the one hand, it shows you how shitty politics are. Yeah. But on the other hand, it shows you how much in the closet you feel like you have to be in order to pursue anything that you're trying to do.
You're going above and beyond
right.
to prove you're not gay.
Right. Right, and Lauren went to not gay therapy, you know, as a, like, she opted into that to try to do it. You know, it's...
To try to be straight.
Yeah, thinking that she can convince herself to straighten up.
You got one guy, he's at a party, he hires all gay people, he's tickling these guys, he's being sexual, he's being very inappropriate, and he goes, hey, I just tickle people. What's the big deal? It's this is what I used to do when I was in the Navy. This is all Navy Day stuff. So reporters go, really? Okay. Let's call up some of these Navy guys. And the Navy guys go, yeah, this guy was gay. He was always being inappropriate.
You know, what's funny
this is a senator.
I tickle people. I still voted anti-gay.
Right.
Huh? And then you feel like you can tickle people and blow them a little bit.
You got another guy that got caught drunk driving, leaving a gay club.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, don't worry, I'll still vote anti-gay.
Yeah.
Don't worry, pray for me. We're praying for you, the religious people are saying.
Oh, it's so bizarre.
Good luck.
Oh, Kyle, going back for a second, Kyle, the intern from bed, is saying, that pillow was originally meant for me. Why does everyone think I didn't sleep at all during the marathon?
He had nothing to sleep on, that's why. Oh, my goodness.
There is a mysterious, weird pillow left behind by someone during the marathon. Do you remember that pillow? Like we found it the other day. It's made out of not pillow, but foam.
Right. So it looks like one of those things you use on an airplane almost.
Yeah. And it was just left behind. We now have...
you know what I did? I spilled shit all over it. Feels good.
Tit for tat.
Yeah.
People leave so much behind that now we have a shelf for Lost and Found for our show.
Carter Reed, he's from The Womb, and he's saying, are you going to go to Barnes & Noble's Union Square and find this John Petrie? Of course I am. Yeah, I'll take a look. Of course. It's just interesting. He was right there. He couldn't take a picture or you know.
Or ask.
Or ask. Go, hey, can I see John? You go, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Eh, you had a lot on your plate. It's a heavy book. But I appreciate it.
You had a lot to take in that day.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go over some, it's done.
The stand-up competition submissions are no longer...
That is correct.
We are now going over the submissions that have already been submitted.
Right. Now, some of them, all of the ones you sent in, we're going to put up on the website coming up here in a little bit. Give the winner time to know that he won. I think that's more than fair. If we haven't gone over yours, we probably went over it during the marathon. But don't worry, all these will be up. Even if it was like so horrible that I skipped it, I can't even play a little bit to pick on it. I'll still put those up.
That's very nice of you, I think. I'm not sure.
Well, you'll see. You'll see. But we'll go over some today, and I'm warning you, and I'm warning this Ian guy. Don't get too hurt, but it will be a speed round. If it doesn't catch us right away, we're going to have to move on because we have a lot. You'll understand. The first one's going to be, who's listening right now, Han Solo 69, Ryan B. We're going to go to his. Keith, this is Ryan B. Please find my attached stand-up submission. I've never thought of doing stand-up. I'm a freelance journalist.
Maybe you want to write about something you know about, such as a book coming out.
But I wanted to try my hand at this now. I'm 22. I think my engagement to this girl I've been with for over 5 years is ending.
And is hilarious.
And I'm getting to the bottom of the bottle of wine as I record this.
Ooh, wow.
All right. That's the best way to...
That's your preface?
To stand in a smell. I'm drunk and depressed.
And my life is over.
I think you'll like this. Congrats on the marathon. I have my book pre-ordered, and if I ever get my life straightened out, I'll be buying more for my fucked up friends and family.
Wow, we look forward to your life being better.
Right. And my Winamp just...
crashed?
Just crashed.
I like that because people send me emails like, hey, can you tell Keith that Microsoft isn't that bad? And here's, you know, some proof, and it'll be like some cute little thing that they have or some Google thing that's happening or whatever. And I'm like,
I was excited.
I'm sorry.
I don't know that that's going to work.
Say that again. Say that again.
Oh, I'll forward you the emails.
Okay. All right. So let me just turn on the feed real quick because when that happens, it stops and it sets to its original settings. This is behind the scenes stuff. It's very exciting. All right. Connecting. No, that's very strange.
You know what? While you do that...
Oh, here it goes. It's going. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to tell people, make an announcement about this Sunday.
Yes.
6 to 10, Lolita Bar. Happy hour drinks, $3 until 9 p.m.
Oh.
And we're playing bingo, and it's $0 to get in. It's absolutely free. We're celebrating our book release. Mm. A lot of people that you know are going to be there. A lot of guests on our show. We're going to be there. We're going to be calling out bingo numbers. I heard that our book editor will be there.
Mm.
Our book agent will be there.
Mm.
A lot of guests of the show will be there. A
couple other surprises, if I may say.
Oh, yeah. Peacock Alley, the $75 brunch, has donated tickets for two to their brunch. You can just make an appointment with them. So we have an opportunity to win that.
Okay. That's not really a surprise now, but there are other surprises as well. I do know that.
So check out our events page, keithandthegirl.com/events, and join us this Sunday. And check out the events page to see if you can join us at all other times.
All right. Here's Ryan.
I was excited to get my first credit card. It was a few months ago, and I was about to graduate college. It was time to enter the real world, and I was on the brink of crippling poverty, by which, I mean, it was 2009, the height of the economic depression. I was entering the real world with a degree in print journalism, which I guess is pretty much a joke on its own. But
nope,
mostly, I was excited about walking...
No.
It's not a joke on its own?
Not yet, no.
You want to keep going?
Yeah, a little bit. Right. A
lot of quotes in his stand-up, you know what I mean?
He's a journalist.
Okay.
He's citing his work.
Pretty much a joke on its own. But mostly, I was excited about walking up to a cashier, looking him straight in the eye and saying, man, I've really got to give you credit. Because I ain't got nothing else.
I'm going to give you credit.
But I think I'm just going to max out my credit card. Not that that would be too hard, but with a series of seemingly unrelated purchases. And then I'm going to off myself so I leave not only a good chunk of credit card debt, but also a mystery as to what I was doing with a 50-foot garden hose, a can of WD-40, $500 worth of Omaha steaks, and 20 copies of some book called What Do We Do Now?
Can I say, I can actually put that together, what you would do with all that stuff. It's actually not that far crazy.
It makes sense?
Yeah, a little bit. Not so much funny, but well written.
This is from Casey. Hi, guys. Casey again. I'm male, 23, straight, single, sober. I give X amounts of shits, et cetera, et cetera. Since my first entry was a total bomb, I don't remember some of these people's first entries, but I figured my second try could be an improvement, right? The title of the entry is I Can't Lose to a Retard. Here's my info again if by some miracle I win. Thanks for the laughs, Casey. He's talking about Scooter the Funny. He doesn't want to lose to this guy.
And Scooter the Funny might have my vote.
Well, Keith and Hemda, I'm back, even though you shat all over my first entry. Do you know what it's like to be shat on by someone you respect and admire? It's like if Keith went to L.A. and Kurt Russell robbed him at gunpoint, or if Keith's dad went to the Vatican and the Pope kicked him in the balls, or if Hemda's family finally got to heaven and God was sitting on his porch with a shotgun and said, "Get off of my property, we don't want your kind here." I guess I should have known that my hacky bullshit wouldn't fly.
This is like
After
that
all,
song,
your show is...
This is like that song, Ironic. Where you go,
I guess I should have known that my hacky bullshit wouldn't fly. After all, your show is the smartest thing on the internet, although that's not saying much. I mean, I know the internet is a meritocracy, and you guys are at the peak of the mountain. But that just means you guys are at the peak of a mountain covered in shit. Do you know how many
Wow, I'm being shat upon with fancy words. No, thank you.
I don't think you are.
No, I don't think I am, too. But it sounds like it, and it's not funny.
All right, there you go. This next one is Michael, and he says, this is my second entry to this year's competition. The first one was played on show 1136. Oh, you know what? Actually, I can't play this one. I remember this one. This is Michael Francis, and I tried playing it today just to check things, just to make sure they're at least audible. And you know how you have the bars showing how loud it gets?
Mm-hmm.
The bar isn't moving, and it's so faint, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Oh, okay.
But we'll put it on, and if you guys want to, I don't know, enhance it on your hand. But yeah, there's nothing I can do. Sorry, buddy. This one is Chris instead. Hi, Keith and Lenda. Love the show. Something about giving shits and enjoy this comedy. I've been meaning to put together some decent bits for a while, but I've been too busy doing nothing. Upon hearing about this contest during the Waste Monster show, I was inspired to throw something together this afternoon. I hope you at least played on air because it's pretty good. This guy's ready. Did I tell you it's called Hilarious Comedy? That's the name of, he's ready.
I gotta say, some of these letters really get me juiced up for the actual audio.
I think we should just read the letters only.
I think they wish.
Also, I pre-ordered 75,000 copies of your book on Amazon.
Now I think he's a liar.
I don't plan on paying for any of them, but I wanted to create some buzz. Thanks, Chris. All right, here we go.
Man, farting in the shower is the worst, isn't it?
He's got my vote.
Like many of you, I'm sure, I'm a guy that likes the smell of his own farts, but I farted in the shower the other day, and that was a little too intense even for me. It's like, man, this is why God gave us pants. It was so bad I actually had to get out of the shower. I was having that bad a time. And it's really hard to have a bad time when you're drinking a beer and masturbating. I don't know.
Because he's in the shower.
Like dogs.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny.
It's funny now that you explained it.
But I don't really like the small, stupid ones, like your Pomeranians and your pugs. I was at my buddy's place the other day, and he has a pug. And I was sitting there eating pizza, and he came and sat next to me, just kind of drooling and making that pug noise. I don't even think he wanted any pizza. He just seemed to be staring at me, wondering, why am I here? And I didn't know what to tell him. I mean, to my knowledge, it's very difficult to create a new breed of dog. Meaning that there was some dog breeder that was like, I don't want my dog to be faster, stronger, or smarter. I want it to look more like a pug. And that's the culmination of your life's work. That pug staring back at you. And you're like...
Was there a joke there?
Maybe we didn't get there yet.
All right.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. No more breeding necessary.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, so there you have that. This one is called Helmet Baby. Jim says, I'll keep it short and simple. Here's my submission. Thanks for the consideration. Helmet Baby.
So I'm married with a kid. We had a baby shower right before the kid was born. And this woman, a friend of my wife's, she brings her helmet baby to the baby shower. This tiny little baby, scrunched up face, big ass helmet strapped all around its messed up head. Thanks a lot, asshole. As if having a baby wasn't scary enough. Now I have to worry about it looking like that. Later, I found out from my wife that this was an adopted helmet baby. What, when the adoption agency gave that to you, you didn't just say, no. Bring us a real baby, please. I mean, I understand keeping a helmet baby if it's your helmet baby, your biological helmet baby. I mean, you have to love it.
Yeah.
First of all, I think Newsy's right. This sounds like a McNally-type joke. It kind of sounds like his voice, but McNally would have already had something funny in there, I think. And you know the saying, it's funny because it's true? Just because it's true doesn't mean it's funny.
Okay.
You know? And Kyle, our intern, is saying the one before that, the pug should have stolen from Maria Bamford.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I liked her CD.
Wow, fucking up the jokes. Okay.
This is Jack Bastard, and he's saying, okay, my hat's in the ring. Apparently, I have a desire to be Shark Chum. This is Jack Bastard, Stand Up 2010.
Hey, this is Jack Bastard from the forums, and here is my stand-up submission.
I'm ready.
This Tiger Woods apology bullshit has gotten out of hand. That dude should have been straight up from the beginning. Hold a press conference the day after it happened. Hey, how you doing? I'm Tiger Woods. I'm the best golfer to ever walk the face of the fucking earth. And I like having my dick sucked. Peace. Oh, and I'm staying at the Ramada. If you're a white bitch and you want to suck the cock of the best golfer to ever walk the face of the fucking planet, I'll be in the presidential suite, drinking a Gatorade and wearing four green sport coats.
I don't know why that's funny.
I'm quite positive that dude had other chicks sucking his dick before he got married. If he knew he was going to keep getting his dick sucked, he should have at least been smart enough to protect himself. I want tacos on Tuesday. I want chocolate soda in the fridge at all times. You can drive a Maserati. You can buy a new one whenever you want. Some other chick's going to suck my dick every now and then. You have a house in Switzerland, a house in Miami, a house in LA, and another bitch is going to suck my dick. You can sign it or don't. I don't give a fuck. Honestly, some other chick's going to suck my dick. I would sign it if I were you. A guy mentioned the other day that dolphins are the only animals that commit rape.
Now, is this McNally?
Do you think so?
Does it not sound like McNally?
Not to me, no.
Okay, keep it going.
You're thinking everybody's McNally.
I do, yeah.
A guy mentioned the other day that dolphins are the only animals that commit rape. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard two cats fuck, but one of them does not want to be there. And I'm not even sure why, but I know I've seen at least a few YouTube videos of a Pomeranian having its way with a stuffed animal or someone's
okay.
leg.
I don't know. I kind of like them. You know?
But?
I think there's potential there. But I think people forget that anecdotes are not jokes. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, stories that might be interesting at a party might not be stand-up material.
You think that's a true story, that he thinks cats rape each other? All right, this one is Esteban. He says, I'm 23, male, currently sober, and I give a good morning after a heavy night's worth of drinking shit about this email. I pre-ordered my book, and I can't wait for it to show up in the mail. Here's my submission. Mike Kaplan on Salvia was great on the marathon. He's just saying, thanks for the shows and keep up the good work. Here we go. Esteban.
I read the other day that by 2020, China is going to be a complete sausage fest. In 2020, a severe wife shortage will happen in China, which is ironic that they fucked up in the math department and didn't look down the road to better calculate the gender imbalance that may occur with having a one-child policy. 30 million more marriageable men in 2020. That's a lot of dudes. Though it must be nice to be a good-looking woman in China, it's easy street. You'd never have to buy your own drinks again, guys laying over puddles for you to walk on, doors flying open for you.
I can't. I just can't. Yeah. Am I wrong?
That's a lot of puh, right?
Never mind that he has the microphone in his throat. Is he reading this and that's what it is?
No. See, again, this is more written like a story than stand-up, you know?
Left and right, of like course.
He didn't, did you hear the joke where he was trying to say, of all people to miscalculate number, Asians, because they're so good at math.
Right.
I think he didn't word that right.
It was like, I got it, you know? I'm like, yeah I get it.
But... And I get that wasn't the punchline,
right?
But at the same time, you haven't had a punchline yet.
Walk on, doors flying open for you left and right. Of course, this would lead to more competition amongst men, which in return would cause a lot more tension, and 30 million stressed and horny guys sounds like bad news to me. And just like any other country in that position would, eventually, they're going to want pussy, and that'll only obviously spawn World War III.
I say reading. Yeah. I say this reading, by the way. I'm curious. You got to tell me if I was correct, dude. I think he's
right. You're usually right about that stuff. And also, by the way, it's because they don't respect having a woman baby and they just give it away. So add some more facts to your stand-up.
You know what? Honestly, I don't remember. I didn't. Nothing registered.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Wow. Newsy has an idea for him to submit even though it's too late. Can right. I submit me being on Salvia? I can get on stage and do that.
Well, do you have a year to practice for next year?
That would be hilarious. And you know what? If the person drops out, he should do that. Like if last minute the person's like, no, I can't go. We quickly smoke Newsy up and get him on stage.
Sounds good. This one is called KTG Jokes. Hi, I'm resending since I have sent the wrong email address. Okay. He sent before. I wouldn't know. But okay. I'm a software engineer. I give 3.1415 shits about this audition.
Teehee.
Love your show and cannot get enough. I'm not 100% sure if I can make it out since I have a 2-year-old daughter and live in the San Francisco Bay Area. However, I'm looking for 2 minutes of fame, but most likely shame. There are way better auditions anyway, like the retard dude, so we'll never have to cross that bridge anyway. Well, here we go. Not a lot of
confidence,
belief in himself.
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray to you with the greatest humility in my heart that you, as you promise in the book of Revelations, that you come down from the heavens and take your chosen ones to live in everlasting peace and harmony. Honestly, Father, they have been causing a whole bunch of trouble down here. In Africa, where AIDS is running rampant, they tell people not to wear condoms. In the poorest nations, where women shit out kids by the dozen, they tell them not to use birth control. Here at home, at family planning clinics, they think it's fine just to shoot doctors. And they spend millions of dollars to keep my daughter's parents from getting married. So I implore you, Jesus, take your children up into the heavens so we may have everlasting peace. Oh, and one last thing. Can you send down a copy of What Do We Do Now? Thanks. These jokes brought to you by GrabAndSqueeze.com, where they have the internet's
okay.
biggest selection of products to meet your pleasure needs.
All right. You got it in there. Take care of your 2-year-old. Do the world a favor.
It's more spoken word than a stand-up per se.
Yes. Johnny Stay is saying, wow, he's not reading. And Newsy's saying, take my wife, please.
All right, this one is from Samantha Jones. 53 years old, white female, gorgeous body, darling. A few cocktails in. I care deeply about this email. This is Samantha rating you. I hope you enjoy this stand-up submission. It lasts longer than most men last when they fuck me. I'm afraid I won't be able to attend your April 15th stand-up show because I have a date with that cute lawyer from downtown. Let's just say he'll be showing me what a hung jury is. Yeah. Guilty as charged. I hope you enjoy the submission regardless. Samantha Jones in New York City.
Hi, guys. I thought I'd just send in my stand-up submission. Although, I think we all know it's pretty rare for me to be standing up. Am I right, Keith? To be fair, though, I guess you can't exactly call it all fours comedy. So, I was browsing the internet recently, and I've been seeing a lot of advertisements for teeth whitening. Honey, if you want white teeth, all you need is a good coat of paint. You know what I'm saying, Keith? Speaking of current events, on the show, you guys were talking about how Andrew Koenig was found dead in that park.
Boner.
Honey, the last time I encountered a boner in the park, it was my pussy that had the growing pains. I'm a big fan of the Olympics. If there was a gold medal in fucking, you know I'd get second place. And not because of the quality, but because I love having one man in front of me and one man behind. I'm also a big fan of the skeleton racing. But then, I've always enjoyed having men slide headfirst down my icy tube.
Oh, God.
You know, I had a marathon of my own a few weeks ago. But what I raised wasn't book sales, if you get what I'm saying. Speaking of book sales, I was thinking of pre-ordering your book. But then, who needs a relationship when you're a single, independent woman who can get all the cock she needs?
Am I right, Keith?
That was great.
There you go. It's a shame Samantha will be too busy fucking to show up, but I enjoyed that.
What do you think? Would you vote for a Samantha Jones?
I liked it. I'd vote for Samantha, but Samantha's too busy sucking and fucking. That's too bad.
I like it. I like it.
Well, this is Joshua Brown writing in. Hi, Keith and Hemda. I hope the contest hasn't been closed by the time this reaches you. It's Thursday where I am.
Okay.
So, rules are rules.
So far, sounds like a fun guy.
Yeah, I'll take you to court. What's Josh from Australia again, and this is my last stand-up submission. I know it seems like I've submitted a billion times, but I give a billion shits. This is called Josh Stand-Up 4, so I guess this is his fourth take. This time, I went back and listened to old episodes when Mark Maron and Jesse Joyce, where they gave their thoughts on the comedy process before recording. I've done my best to improve my delivery, and I think about what I'm recording. Hell, I even drew a smiley face on a piece of paper. I didn't have any plush toys to be the audience, or the ones I did have looked too happy to really be laughing. I'd love to hear what tips you have for me regarding this piece and how I can improve. Besides, hey, how about submitting once? By the way, Keith, I was wondering if your delivery style is just you naturally, or you really had to think hard about your tone and energy to find something that works. Josh, I don't know. I don't know. You just had to be more yourself. Like, you hear these ones that aren't good. They're trying to be somebody that's not them. It is ironic, but you have to find your voice, and your voice is natural. Yeah. So you have to find how to be natural.
Yeah. It's a very odd collection, and I'm speaking from a different being on stage point of view, but it's a very odd collection of calming yourself down and yet being very jacked up.
Right.
You know?
Isn't it weird, by the way, being on stage where you're not really taking, you don't really take everything. You're hyper aware, and at the same time, you can't take a lot in.
Yeah.
When we gave the award for funniest book of the year.
In the ECNY Awards.
At these awards at the comics this week. We're not on stage long. We're in and out. We think, the people receiving the award should have the more time. But anyway, we do a little humorous thing. And then we finish, and neither of us really knew, you know, what people's reactions were. I was definitely looking at people in the audience.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I can't. I heard the laughter. I can't remember seeing one person specifically laugh. Is you know what I mean? And that's normal. That's why when I'll finish an hour of stand-up and I got to ask Henda, how'd it go?
Yeah.
She goes, how'd it go? You saw everybody standing up. You saw everybody laughing. You saw people choking over it. And I'm like, yeah, but I didn't really see it.
Yeah, it's almost like a...
Yeah.
But you're conscious and unconscious at the same time. It's very, very bananas to be on stage. It's like you're the most vulnerable, but you're king of the world.
Right.
The dynamic is very weird.
So take that for what it is, Josh.
You're welcome. We just explained life to you.
All right, here's Josh's stand-up. Take 4.
So the Pope came out earlier this year, and he said he blames the decline in faith as to why so many priests and clergymen have been kid-touching all these years. I mean, come on, no. People are losing faith in your magic carpenter story because your representatives are kid touchers. That's like saying, geez, I've gotten so morbidly obese because hot chicks did not fucking me. It's all their fault.
True.
Or going around saying, you know, we needed the sky up there because we needed to fly planes through something.
No one. When knows. I say find your own voice, I didn't know your voice was Australian.
Can I say not funny, but I do want him to announce something at the show.
That's fine.
You know? So, I don't know. Maybe we'll figure something else out for you.
Here's Mark Tyler. He's saying, Keith Hemda, here's my stand-up submission. Done. Short and to the point. This is Mark Tyler.
In 2004, my first wife and I decided to get a divorce. In California, there's only two reasons to get a divorce. One is irreconcilable differences, and the other one is being crazy. While I probably could have gotten a divorce on grounds that I was crazy for marrying the woman in the first place, we had to file irreconcilable differences. For me, the irreconcilable difference was my wife was a lying, cheating whore, and I couldn't be married to a lying, cheating whore.
Is he scratching his balls while he's doing this?
Yeah, I don't know what that noise is.
That right there? Sorry, catch that bitch. I swear to God, fucking law or no law, I'll fucking beat that woman down, and then you can charge me for real crazy.
Whore, and I couldn't be married to a lying, cheating whore.
Fucking whore.
That right there? Irreconcilable differences.
See what I did there?
So during okay. our divorce...
Yeah, you're saying he calmed himself down with a few cocktails. All right. Our buddy Jeremy submitted.
Did you read his Twitter about it?
No.
That
I hate myself, it said.
Close. He made sure that it was... he worked hard on it and made sure it was not funny at all.
All right.
Okay.
Here's the efforts of a good 15 minutes of writing terrible jokes, he writes. One take recording, zero editing. I don't got all day. Enjoy.
Yeah.
And here we go. Let's see if we can tell it's one take. Here's Jeremy. This one's called Not Funny Stand-Up.
Here's some jokes that aren't funny at all. It's your fault if you think they're funny. I was struck by lightning 3 years ago. Apparently I lived. When I was young, I knew a kid named Bjorn. He fucked his cat. I only have one ball. I don't know where the other is. When I go out on Sundays, the first thing I do is pour some out for my homies. Then I pour the rest of the detergent into the washer.
Here's the good news, Jeremy. The good news is you're a very smart person, and you have other qualities.
Okay.
The end.
Silly putty. It killed my ferrets. I used to measure time in episodes of the Smurfs. Two more Smurfs until the Smurfs.
That's great, actually. I used to be a chick who had over 40
piercings. She was mainly in Smurfs. I used to date a chick who had over 40 piercings. She was mainly into penguins. I don't smoke Cuban cigars anymore because I don't like their association with Cuban sandwiches. I don't find magic markers all that magical. It's just a fucking marker. My first girlfriend was half Indian and half Norwegian. I guess that adds up to whole crazy. I went to a German summer camp when I was young. I think my parents were hoping it was a different kind of camp.
Heyo!
I recently got a bed from IKEA. Keith was right. I'm retarded. In one summer, I went from being almost held back a year in school to being in the gifted program. Okay. That same summer, I was hit in the head by a golf ball. I once played a 12-year-old Teddy Roosevelt in a film that was never released. I received $350 and a hamster as payment.
And you're the only one who could find it.
A lady put 40 dryer sheets in with one load. I did not stop her from having the softest towels ever. My most painful moment in life was when Coca-Cola squirted out of my eyes.
Ew, what?
My boss thinks I'm a miracle worker. I think he's blind and deaf. Well, for me!
All right, there's Jeremy. All right, and this is the final one. This is Nick P., and he writes, hey, I'm Nick, I'm 28, not single, don't live with my parents. I give a couple good shits about this. That's how he goes on dates. He's like, I don't live with my parents, and well, you're not supposed to do any of these things.
I don't beat my kids.
It's not the end of the week, so this counts. People are telling me the rules. This is my first ever attempt at stand-up. I didn't write anything down. I didn't edit it. This is just me. Good.
You don't have to do that.
I want the real you. Okay. I want no practicing. If you like it, then good. If not, then maybe I could plan it out next year. However, if you do like it, then maybe I could be a guest on your show. I'd promise to just repeat everything from my first comedic recording for my first appearance on Keith and the Girl, just like Jesse Joyce did.
Oh, snap-a-doodle-doo.
Thanks for years of entertainment. Great comedy CDs. Great comedy CD recommendations. Pat Dixon is great. And for your book, Nick. Right, here's Nick.
So let's cut to the chase. I won't bullshit. I have my vices like everyone else. I drink about 12 cups of coffee a day. I smoke a pack of cigarettes. I love to drink. You know, I have to moderate myself, but sometimes I can't. I still love it. But sometimes I think there needs to be some kind of body that steps in, some kind of governing body, like, I don't know, the government that could regulate these things, because sometimes it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, you know, the other day I was at the liquor store, it was a Friday, about a week ago, and two people in front of me in line at the liquor store is a woman. She's probably late 30s, early 40s, short, stocky, black woman. Sounds perfectly normal, except she has Down syndrome. Now, see, I have a problem with that because...
This is the biggest setup in the world.
I have a problem that we're halfway done.
Yeah.
And I know you like to drink and you were once at a liquor store.
Yeah.
I've worked with people with developmental disabilities before. You know, I have a real sympathy towards it. I always have. It's like a soft spot in my heart.
You're a nice guy.
And so
I heard about you.
I'm watching the cashier ring her up with this big handle of vodka, and it's not like this is Corky from Life Goes On. This woman just hands her every dollar bill in her wallet, waits for her to give her back the money, and then the cashier is nice enough to give her change. And I couldn't believe it. It was just like, what the hell is going on here? You really want to give this person who already has a deficiency something that is going to make their behavior even more erratic? But then there's the asshole
part
of it.
Whoa, I'm sorry, I tuned out. And good day. Wow. We're still at the liquor store, right?
Right.
With some retard?
And maybe...
Is he campaigning for don't let retards buy drinks?
I guess so, but meanwhile, it helps Jeremy.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good for him. So the guy's actually wrong.
Okay.
It's healthy to do. All right, so there you have those. And
we present you with this.
There you have those.
And you're welcome.
So we'll put those up. Maybe we'll do it this weekend, and you guys will be able to vote for everybody. Hey there, Keith Hemda and the other bodies whom help with Keith and the Girl merchandising. He's talking about keithandthegirl.com/store, where you get the shirts, the everything we have.
All the merchandise that is Keith and the Girl.
I'm Dirty Dan from the forums, and I've been a listener of Keith and the Girl for a year and a half now. I'm newly single and wanted to get myself out there and thought that a Keith and the Girl t-shirt would be perfect for that reason. But I spend most of my time at my office job, so I have to dress business casual for work. So I've noticed that the polo shirts in the medium size have been sold out for quite a while. I was wondering if you know when you are going to get some in. I just got some people at my office to start listening, and one happens to be the awesome, gorgeous girl whom I wouldn't mind having blow me. She also knows about Suck a Dick Wednesdays, where you see the person where we have the shirt, and they go, hey, you're a cool guy, I'll blow you. You know, I want to, I'm looking for a reason, I just, you know, you just can't put yourself out there in the world, you're called a whore. So this chick's into it. But notices I never came in with the appropriate attire. So she's just saying, hey, you take the time, I'll take the time. Help a nigga out, please. Let me know when shipments are going to be in. Thank you, Daniel.
Well, here is the announcement. We are having what is called a clearance.
Oh.
And some of the stuff in the store will not be reordered. Ooh. Some of the stuff has already been sold out and removed from the store. Ooh. Some of the stuff is getting sold out size by size. For example, the polo shirt is on clearance sale.
Mm.
Marked down by $10.
What, $10?
That's a lot. And so some of the
$10 you can buy like a toothbrush and mint for your coworker when she's done.
Hello.
You know?
If you think it out, like Keith does, he's a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
But if the stuff that you like is on there now, you might as well buy it now because we're downsizing.
Downsizing and
call it downsizing?
You can call it downsizing. Right. We're being specific. We'll have new items, some different stuff, but we're streamlining it.
Streamlining. Yes. Yeah, so some of the stuff will continue to be available and some won't. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to get the stuff now, keithandthegirl.com/store. Also, obviously, all the purchases in the store help this show continue. It's a free show, and that's part of, you know, what finances this situation that we have here.
I do have a saying that goes with this. Get it if you want it.
I have a saying. It's on sale.
There you go.
Cha-ching!
Dear Keith and Hemda, I've been a loyal listener for the past 5 years. I wanted to say that you guys are awesome. Thank you. I was wondering if you'd make an announcement for me about the upcoming South by Southwest event. This is what? This is in Texas, I understand, and it's a big deal. Austin.
It's a huge, huge festival.
Music festival.
Yeah, that actually Patrice is in right now.
She's in it. What's she play, bass?
She's covering it.
She's covering it?
In some capacity. Follow her on Twitter, Patrice.
Whoa, for what? Entertainment Tonight?
Follow her on Twitter.
All right. We're hosting a two-day showcase at South by Southwest, and at midnight, that showcase becomes an indie electro bass dance party. It's sponsored by these people, and it's a free party. You just have to RSVP. RSVP, and you're on the list. You can literally come out and party and drink all night long for free. These are vodka sponsors. Can you say party super party? I figured Keith and the Girl fans would be able to rage with us pretty hard. Details will be on our forums, keithandthegirl.com/forums.
Is it in the meetup section?
I don't know, but I know it'll be on there.
Okay, I believe it's in the meetup section. You go to keithandthegirl.com/forums. You look at the meetup section, and you do have to RSVP. So in that RSVP, let them know that you heard it from Keith and the Girl. In fact, anything you order from now on, anything you register for, just tell them you heard it on our show.
It's the night of March 18th. Bands are performing from noon to midnight. It says March 18th through the 19th. Bands perform noon to midnight, 2501 East 4th Street in Austin, Texas. So there you go. Check that out.
Wow, noon to midnight. That's 12 hours.
It's a lot of drinking.
Very cool.
And people like drinking if you go by those stand-up submissions. So don't forget, this is the very important time for you to pick up your copy of the book and let your friends know on Twitter and Facebook and all that. And we see what you guys are doing. We appreciate it. And the pictures are a hoot to see.
Love it.
The book, of course, Keith and the Girls, What Do We Do Now? Smart Answers to Your Stupid Relationship Questions. It only took 6 months, but now I remember the subtitle.
Yeah, it's called What Do We Do Now? More information is found on keithandthegirl.com/book. Thanks, as always, for your support in any which way, in blogging, in Twittering, in buying our merchandise, in donating. All your help is appreciated. And also, thanks for spreading the word. We will see you guys on Monday. KeithandTheGirl.com.